Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful Monday evening, one that we'll never see again, but praise God we are in it. And so I'm so grateful that you decided to tune in, like I said, on this wonderful Monday. My name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me, just call me a child of God. I'm very excited to share on tonight because, amen, I'm still here. And so praise God you're here. And when Jesus says yes, no one can say no. So to let you know the theme and the challenge that we would try to embark upon on tonight is to make sure that we encourage you in some type of way by the words that we've said on this broadcast. We're also hoping that we will educate you. It may not be a brand new topic, but it will be something that you'll ponder on and something that you may jot down and study a little bit later in your further study of the word. And then most importantly, we're hoping that you will learn something and grasp something that you will fix and enhance in your own life, but more importantly, that you will be empowered to share it with someone else. So the goal of the broadcast is to encourage, to educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Amen. So like I said, if you're brand new to the broadcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. Those of you that have been with me for the past going on 8 years, amen. There's just no words that I can thank you enough and appreciate how much you've prayed, how much you've encouraged me, how much you've empowered me to continue to do what God has called me to do by being obedient to the word of God and being obedient to my assignment, and that is to teach and to minister the word of God. So I will always be thankful for you. Now, the biggest, well, one of the biggest, God gives the greatest. But the biggest praise I have to give, and that is to Tammy and Jesse Store and the Omega Ministry Group, because praise God, without them, I would have not known this was a platform for me. And so praise God, I love teaching, I love being in the classroom, but had no idea that I could have a classroom with an audience from all over the world. And so I'm so grateful that they introduced this medium for me, and then praise God, have been examples and have been leaders and been encouraging, not just me, but other men and women, and even grew up some teenagers, praise God, that are now adults that are doing their thing to share the goodness of God. And so we'll always be grateful to them. Now, like I said, the greatest praise goes Father above. And we always want to make sure that we start with an upbeat song to get us in the mood, at least for me, because, amen, I can't help but dance. Every time I hear that song, I can listen to it 5, 6, 7, 8 times in a row and feel a new rejuvenation every time I listen to it. And that's why I start the broadcast. When Jesus says no, or says yes, nobody can say no. And, of course, when he say no, nobody can say yes either. Amen. But we want to make sure that we start off with a good upbeat song to get us moving and jovial about what we're about to hear, and then praise God, we pray, and then go right into the lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, that you are the vine and that we are branches, and as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear fruit, and that fruit will remain. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to know your word and to know your word, so that if we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can have and ask whatever we wish and desire. Of course, it will be the things that you desire for us, but we can have those things. And so we just take this time to thank you. Thank you for each person that dialed on tonight, whether it's tonight, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, or 3 years from now, that they will have a rhema word because it's strictly from you. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to understand and have wisdom and do all the things that we do with our gifts and our talents because of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, that it rules and reigns in our lives and in our hearts and gives us the motivation of what we need to do and when we need to do it. And then also can slow us down and make us be quiet and meditate and study on your word. And then most importantly, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, because without the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't have an opportunity to have an intimate relationship with you, nor would we have the power and the protection and the confidence in knowing that you are with us and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, there's so much that we can say to be thankful for, but we just don't have enough time. And so, Father, just in these few little moments, we want to make sure that you understand you get all the praise, you get all the honor, you get all the glory. And as we submit ourselves to you, me and my wonderful special guest on tonight, I'm so excited to say I have a guest. I haven't had a guest in a while, but praise God, I'm glad that God has blessed me to be able to have a guest that is knowledgeable and full of the word and loves to live out the word and definitely loves to teach the word. And so I just want to make sure that we are covered in the things of God. And so that's why we always go to God in prayer, to cover us and keep us focused so that we share whatever he has on our hearts on tonight. It will give you an inspiring word to be better, to do better, to be delivered, to be set free, and to have hope in the things of him. So again, Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the people that are listening. We thank you, Father, for the ones that are preparing the word and that we do it according to your plan and purpose. Let there be no distractions and no delays, and we want your word to go forth and you get all the praise and all the glory. We love, we honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all through the glory of God. I almost forgot what the name of the podcast was. Amen. But I'm so excited to be able to share and talk about my guest. And so she happens to be a good friend. I met her several years ago, and we both met in the platform of teaching because we love teaching God's word. And I have to say this, I don't even know if she remembers this story, praise God. But I remember the first time I met her, I was teaching this famous, famous, famous word that I always encourage everyone to study, the Master Life Theory. And I was technically at that time, I was over the Master Life Series program. And so I trained the teachers, but somehow she went through one of the trainings that one of my other leaders had. And so she didn't quite know about me. But when we got to meet, she offered me these worksheets. And she said, I got some really cool worksheets that will really be cool for you to share in some of your classes, because she knew we both were, you know, down about the Master Life Series. And I said, oh, wow, that's really cool. And I said, well, you know, show them to me. And so she showed me these forms, and I laughed, and she said, what's funny? And I said, you see those happy faces? That's me. I said, anytime you see anything with a happy face, that's me. And she's like, oh, well, I'm giving you your own paperwork. But we laughed about it, but we were so encouraged and so excited about teaching the Master Life System. I call it a system because it's four different classes. But it is a great opportunity for you to get to know and expound on how to share your faith and be confident in your faith and do the thing. So, amen. We started from that vein, and then we've just grown and developed. And now, praise God, we're ministering together. We're doing things, and prayerfully we'll be able to, you know, hit the streets soon with the pandemic lifting and really minister the word of God through outreach. And so I'm so excited to be able to introduce minister, Elaine Donaldson, praise God. And I'm so excited to have you on. It's been a while since you've been here. And so I'm just excited that you had the time to come on with us. And so if you're here, tell us that you're here and you're excited about being here. And praise God, what you're looking forward to most in sharing on tonight.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Yes, I am here, and I am so excited to be here. I tell you, I am always enjoying the program, the radio station, the way you come and the way you bring the message. It is a joy, and it has helped me tremendously over the years. So I am excited to be here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for trusting me with your platform, because that is something that I am honored that you would even do. So, yes, I am here. Thank you.
Amen. So now, Oh, yeah, I forgot. I did ask you, tell us what you're excited about, didn't I?
Yes. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm excited to go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You sure?
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
We're going to be going back and forth. We'll probably bump into each other because we love teaching the word. But I was going to just kind of preview why, you know, it was so exciting for you to come on. A couple weeks ago, and it was so funny because when you said it a couple weeks ago, I was like, amen, I don't know how to say that word. So I caught myself looking it up. And so Galapagos, that's one way to say it. And then
Galapagos.
Yeah. It was several ways to pronounce it. One way is with the island, and the other way is over a native tribe. And then they named a street in New York based on it, and they have a different pronunciation because they didn't want to have the same association as the island. But nevertheless, that particular island, that rock formation, fell. And so we do a lot of conversations back and forth, you know, about end times and different things that are happening in the world and how so many people get caught up listening to the wrong content, the wrong information, and how sometimes if we're not careful, we can believe and be deceived, you know, almost a lifetime of being swayed and living our lives, you know, really kind of in darkness because we didn't really tune into the things of God for him to give us insight. And so so one of the things that she did was kind of looked it up a little further, praise God, and was excited and wanted to share on the broadcast. And so I don't know if we want to start with scripture first, or how God is leading you? Do you want to talk about who we're talking about first, or do you want to just go to the Word?
Definitely want to lead with the Word. Definitely want to lead with the Word. And I'm coming from Colossians 2, 6 and 8. And it says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Verse 8, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Love that scripture, because that says, live your life rooted and grounded, be in him, because we have been taught. We show up Monday after Monday. We show up in classes and we read and we listen to the Word on television, and it helps us to become rooted and grounded. But the Word clearly warns us that we are to beware of anyone that would try to cheat us out of how God wants us to live, through philosophy and empty deceit, according to tradition of men and according to basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. And that is Colossians 2, 6 through 8.
You know, it's interesting that you chose this set of scriptures, because I don't know why I've been so intrigued by the Message version lately, but I like how, I guess I can use the word that it used, straightforward that it is. It gives us a better, breaks down sometimes for those of us who don't quite understand the vowels and these of the scripture. But the Message version, if you don't mind me sharing, says, "My counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You receive Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now do what you've been taught. School is out. Quit studying the subjects and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through empty traditions of human beings and empty superstitions of spirit beings. But this is not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him, so you can see and hear him clearly. You do not need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything." I love how it breaks it way down to even the microscope, the telescope, or the horoscope, and how sometimes we can get caught up by the ways that we try to predict certain things are going to happen. And we just have to depend on the things of God. And so I like that you chose this passage of scriptures. And so where and why you chose this set of scriptures based on the person that you want to share information on.
Okay, sure. Thank you so much. And it's funny, because what drew me to this scripture, you know, I got on my news feed. It actually came over my phone. And it's funny, because this particular news feed, it made a ripple, but I didn't see it in the mainstream like CNN or MSNBC or any of the other major channels. But it came to, it kind of came over, and it said on May 18th, there's this iconic structure, and this iconic structure is called Darwin's Arch. And I'm thinking, Darwin's Arch, and it says, "Darwin's Arch collapsed into the sea." And I looked at it, okay, so most of us kind of know about Darwin and his theory of evolution, you know, that he thinks how man was formed. And I'm thinking to myself, that's man-made stuff, because God's kingdom is eternal. It's forever and ever. But Darwin's Arch, it falls into sea. It don't last. And, you know, so that kind of, at that point, the Holy Spirit started tugging on me. So I'm thinking, okay, I didn't know that there was a famous or an iconic monument called Darwin's Arch, named after Charles Darwin, who is the man that came up with the theory of evolution. And, you know, some of you guys, you've seen on the back of cars where there's a fish and it's got Darwin on it, the fish got little legs, and then it's being eaten up by the regular fish, you know, because that's that whole struggle between man or the evolution and God, because we know, according to Scripture, Genesis 2 and 7, that God made Adam from dirt, and he breathed his breath into him and made him a living and breathing soul. So we know, us believers, we know how we were formed. We were formed in the image of God, and he breathed life into us, and we became a living soul. But Darwin, you know, this guy, and what he did was, and it kind of tripped me out. I was like, okay, his little arch done crumbled. And if you think about an arch, okay, like a rainbow or an arch, and the way the arch crumbled and fell, it was at the very center and the top. So there's no way this iconic monument could be an arch anymore, because all was left was two. They kind of since renamed it, talking about Darwin's pillars, but we know those pillars are going to fall too, because it's not by Christ. Christ's kingdom is eternal. But anyway, the middle of the arch, it is what crumbled into the sea. So I said, well, let me see, what is this? Where is it? And I'm a bit of a National Geographic documentary historical kind of person. I like the wildebeest and, you know, the Serengeti and all that kind of stuff. So this came from Darwin when he spent time on what's called the Galapagos Islands, which is in the Pacific, which is not too far from Ecuador. So, you know, like I said, most of us know about Darwin's because they taught it to us in school. And if you don't, then perhaps you've seen, like I said, those little symbols on the back of people's cars with the fish with legs and then the fish eating that fish. So what it is back in the 1800s, Charles Darwin, who was a privileged person, his dad was a scientist and a doctor, his grandfather was a physician, his mother came from a well-to-do family. So this guy was privileged. He was brought up in privilege. And we all know about privilege because it's been in the news, so they, you know, because their mindset can be a little bit different. But anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But anyway, he spent time on this island called the Galapagos Islands. So I'm thinking, okay, this arch done fell into the sea. Let's see what Darwin was really all about and how he came up with the fact that man was evolved. You know, we've all seen the picture of the chimp and the monkey, then the man. We all know, or some of us who may not know, you know, they say it came from an amoeba out of the ocean and then it turned into this. So evolution caused us to be who we are in our physical bodies today. This is what the theory of evolution is by Charles Darwin. And he came up with this theory while he was on these Galapagos Islands. Now, the Galapagos Islands are pristine. They're in the middle of the ocean. You can only get to them by boat. And I've seen it's like on National Geographic. And, you know, it's where you can go and find hundreds of species of sharks and all of this. So Charles Darwin, he spent this time, and what he did was he studied finches, birds. These were finches, birds. And he was comparing how the birds had evolved. Okay, so when the birds first got there, because they're trying to figure out how did all this life happen on these islands. So when the birds first got there, they had small beaks because they were eating small seeds. Well, because things grew on the island, you know, some of those birds developed bigger beaks because they had bigger, larger seeds. So that's how, studying these birds, these finches, that's how he came up with evolution, okay? Because he's saying these birds evolved in their surroundings. So, of course, then he thinks men and people evolved. And it's funny because in that time, he also says, you know, one of the terms for evolution is survival of the fittest. We've all used that term. We have all used that term, and I'm going to come back to it. But he only spent 5 weeks on this island. Charles Darwin spent 5 weeks on the Galapagos Island, and he came up with a theory of evolution that influenced the world. This thing is taught in schools. It's taught on the back of cars. he made such an impact, which is contrary to the word of God. It's contrary to Genesis that God formed man out of the dirt and breathed into him and made him a living soul. And then I think about when they said one of the terms of spinoff from this evolution, from this dude spending 5 weeks on an island that has this kind of impact on the world, which is contrary to God's word. So when I looked it up and they said, well, when you get the term survival of the fittest, that's what they use sometimes to talk about evolution, because these birds whose beaks developed that, that's how he got this theory. So now they're surviving. They're survival of the fittest. No, 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 homeboy. We are surviving. We survive because we are fit in Christ. The Holy Spirit that dwells in us strengthens us and allows us to be here. But it just goes to show us that when we say things and we listen to things, we don't really know where they come from. I was even thinking about an O.J. song, Survival, Survival of the Fittest. We are confirming that theory that we came from evolution, out of the ocean, from this privileged man who went to this island and only spent 5 weeks to tell us how we were evolved, which is contrary to the word of God. So I say this because had I not followed the leaning and the pulling of the Holy Spirit to figure out what is this iconic monument that they named after Charles Darwin, and I found out this is the island where he studied, that he came up with a theory of evolution that changed the world, that's taught to us, that was taught to our, that will be taught to our children, and that it is contrary to the word of God. So, you know, that kind of tripped me out. But when we hear the pull of the Holy Spirit, whether it's don't put your purse on the floor because it's bad luck or you won't have money, or one of the ones we grew up with talking about culture, a man got to come through your door on New Year's Day. When you hear these things and you know something's not right about it because it's contrary to the word of God, we are admonished. We are, should be compelled to go to the scripture and figure out where that come from, because everything is in the word of God. And that is what took me to that scripture, because I wanted to find out more about Charles Darwin. Why was this monument so iconic? And I found out homeboy spent 5 weeks and he changed the world. And we, as believers in Christ, what more would we do that we are equipped with the word of God? Okay, I'll stop there. Sister Lee, if you got any comments or questions.
I do, because I love the fact that we both are history buffs and we both love studying history. But one of the things that I think that I wanted to pull out mainly from Darwin and his whole thing is the word philosophy. And we talked about that even in the scripture that you chose. And so, you know, me, I love to do definitions. And so philosophy is the study of fundamental natures of knowledge, reality, and existence, especially when considering something as an academic principle. And so even though some of us don't quite understand the philosophical things that people say, but it's necessary to some degree to understand some of it, because there are so many people, even in our current situation with the COVID, you know, we're relying on what Dr. Fauci says and we're relying on what this person says. And so because many times these people are studying, and I like the point that you said that Darwin came from a privileged background, because he was. And so people believed him because he did have the training. He did come from a heritage of intellectual thinkers. And so why wouldn't we believe? And so when we think about, you know, even during that time, there wasn't that many people that even had the means to go to school, didn't have the means to study, didn't have the means to really know about the things of the world. And so since he sounded educated, we believed him. And I think why this is so important for us to talk about today is that, again, these same type of people exist. And they're saying things and selling goods, what did you say, the survival of the fittest. Many times we believe and we don't really investigate. We just do the vaccination and we believe it because they say it, they say it, they say it. But none of us are wise enough or have the intellect to really know, does it really work, does it not? We just, we're believing, and so we have to believe. But the key here is that I think why God blessed you to even choose this set of scriptures is because God wants us to remember even though somebody comes from a privileged background, even though somebody is educated, may have 1,000 degrees, doesn't necessarily mean it's his way. And I think so many of us are forgetting. We're looking to all of these philosophies and doctrines and what was the word that we said, superstitions and all these things to be truthful. And we won't go to God. And so when we think about philosophy and, like you said, the empty deceit, we forget that these are human traditions, human philosophies, human thought. When do we trust God? And so I like that Paul is reminding us that we have to remember what God says, because if God doesn't tell you to do something, it may seem right to a lot of people, because the way he explained evolution, and I even remember, that was almost 40 years ago, I remember my science teacher, his name, I don't know, my sister's listening, she remembered Mr. Gerard. And I remember him distinctly because he made his classes seem so interesting. He was corny, and he was a complete nerd, if you quote-unquote stereotype somebody in that. But he made science interesting, and he believed in evolution. And the more, because we grew up in a holiness church, so we knew that wasn't true, the more we challenged him, the more he had answers to combat what we were saying, that for somebody that wasn't strong enough in the word, could fall for that. And so in today's time, we have to be reminded of the same thing, and how we even got to this topic about, you said, listening to the news and how they said this was such an iconic thing that, you know, it was important. Well, when are we going to say the things of God are important? When are we going to really listen to the philosophy, which we talked about, the enhanced knowledge of the things of God and trust him? We talked last week about, you know, just because it was Memorial Day and thinking about all the things that, you know, the legacies that people leave, and think about just talking about Darwin. We're still talking about him, and how many thousands of years ago was that? But if we do something that's monumental, what are we doing? I mean, and all of us can ask ourselves that question. What are we doing that can leave a mark for thousands of years for the generations to come to know that we worship Christ, that we had the understanding of who God was, that we practiced and studied and made ourselves knowledgeable of the things of God and taught it with prestige to the people that may have thought that we had all this schooling, but it's just because we believe and trust in God. And so, I mean, I know I could go on and on because I love philosophy stuff, but I love how you tie these two together and how it's so important for us today in this era, even with all the people thinking, oh, Jesus has already come back because people are dying, and this is the mark of the beast, you know, with the vaccinations. I mean, there's so many different philosophies of people that are floating around. And if you don't know to go to the Word, then, amen, you'll believe all manner of anything. And so we have to go back to the Word. And so I know you said that there is a way for us to be more focused on the things of God. And so what are those things that we must do and what we need to do to believe the things of God and not necessarily the things of this system?
Exactly. And I want to just kind of, even before I get into that, just kind of go back to, you know, verse 8 of Colossians, because God warns us. He said, beware that anyone cheat you. You know, when somebody's cheating you, they're stealing from you. They're taking away something that's yours. And our life is in Christ. And so if he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the principles of the world, and not according to Christ. The Word even warns us. You know, we all say study and show yourself approved. But like you said, if you don't listen, if we don't listen to that Holy Spirit inside of us, if we don't take the time to check things. Now, I'm not saying everybody got to check everything or you got to be this, you know, because I'm not this person who just sits all day and study everything, but we should be obedient when the Word of God, when the Holy Spirit pulls us in to see, to uncover the deceit. He said, beware. Beware means I'm looking to see if somebody's trying to cheat me out of my life, trying to woo me into believing and accepting that which is contrary to God. And after I kind of looked at that, and it's like, okay, so what do we have to battle it with? And to your point, it took me to Proverbs 4, like 20 through 22, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but everybody's kind of, most people are familiar where you guard your heart, you guard your eye gates, your ear gates. We have to guard ourselves. God tells us to guard what we hear, what we see, and what we allow to come into our hearts, because we want to think on those things that of Christ, and it is our responsibility as believers to check what the world, like you said, when we hear from these quote-unquote privileged scientists or believers or people on a main platform, and some of those people are believers in God, but it is our responsibility as believers in Christ to go to the Word and check that. It's something that I used to tell my daughter when she was, you know, visiting different churches. I said, well, you know, I don't mind you visiting other churches, but I tell you this, if you don't follow what that man of God says in your Bible, you write those scriptures down, and when you get home, you check and make sure whatever the scripture he says to you, that is the scripture in your word. You don't allow to be fed anything, because if you're fed anything, you'll fall for everything. That's kind of a spin on it. But my thing is this, is that we have the responsibility to check these things. Survival of the fittest, Darwin's theory. I'm glad you guys did stand up for the word, because a lot of people don't. There's a movie, God is Not Dead. Yeah, God is Not Dead, I think that's the name of the movie, that kind of deals with that a little bit too. But, yeah, we have to go to the Word, and I went to Proverbs 20 and 22, and that it is our responsibility to guard what we hear, what we see, what we allow in our hearts, because that is where life flows out of our hearts. Dr. Happy?
I'm glad that you brought that up too, because so many of us don't guard our hearts. We don't guard any of our gates, our portals. I call them portals. Mm-hmm. And so how we end up falling to, you know, so many schemes of the enemy. And, I often talk about my word deception because, I mean, you don't even know that you're deceived. And how God will reveal, like this statue falling, gives us a great indication that, that if you believe on the things of man, eventually they will fail and they'll fall. And so unless you depend totally on him, and, I often quote, you know, we can't lean to our own understanding. So many of us are leaning to our own understanding because we think that the ways are right. And so the Bible even talks about that, you know, the ways of man can be completely wrong. But we believe them because we believe we're right in our own eyes, and it's completely, again, being deceived. And so if we're not checking things according to the word, if we're not doing the checks and balances for ourselves, we can be led astray. I think about now how many of us have been taught certain things growing up in church that we realize, wow, okay, maybe it wasn't as serious as that. Maybe there's nothing wrong with wearing fingernail polish. Maybe there's nothing wrong with wearing short sleeves. I mean, maybe there's nothing wrong with women wearing pants. I mean, but, you know, growing up in a philosophy and in a culture and in a way that they only understood based on their information because nobody checked it or nobody had the understanding of how to communicate, maybe even. They may have known but just didn't know how to communicate. But the coolest thing about the scripture is that it gives us the confidence, especially when we're standing in the things that are true and the things that are noble, the things that are of God, that he will give us an opportunity to correct the wrongs of the world. But we have to be open and listen to him. And that's why, like you said, guarding our portals is so important, because the more you hear something crazy, eventually you'll start to believe it. And so we have to be mindful and believe and put ourselves in positions where we can hear God's voice and hear God's voice only, and be able to know when we're hearing his voice, because the enemy can camouflage a lot of stuff because he wants us to be led astray and not do the things that God has called us to.
Amen. So just for us, it's for us to get it right, but so we can pass on, because God's church, God's people is generational, and if we get it right, then we can get get it right for our children and our grandchildren. You know, when we go and, like you said, when we check the word, when we go and we say, okay, what does this mean in the scripture? And it doesn't take a lot. There's a concordance in the back of most Bibles for those of us who are old school. But, you know, Google, you know, Granny, get one of those grandkids and one of those kids to look it up for you. Baby, come find this and, you know, go on your telephone and find this for me. You know, we have the tools at our fingertips. We just have to use them, and we don't have an excuse. There's concordances where you can look up a word and it can tell you where you can find that word in the scripture. You know, you can get your grandchildren or your children to look it up for you. You can go on your phone. You can do Google. Because at the end of the day, I kind of took your scripture from the Message on Romans 12, 1 and 2. And according to the Message, it says, place your life before God. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture, a lot of stuff going on around about now about culture, cancel culture, and traditions. Culture is just another word for traditions and philosophies, that your culture, that you fit into it without even thinking. Confirms what you just said, Dr. Happy. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down, like Darwin took us down into the water and down with the birds, anyway, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, trying to keep us on milk. God brings the best out of you. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I like that you said God brings the best out of us, but it's almost like when we go through certain situations in life, and I think sometimes we forget, we remind ourselves, God, you know, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're reminded that he will never put no more on us than we can bear. We're reminded that, you know, he has all power and all, you know, everything is in his hands. But when we go through something, we forget. And how we have to always keep it before our faces. A girlfriend of mine today even was saying, you know, it's like I need a mirror in front of me to remind me. And so, you know, my suggestion and my comments have always been, if you have to write it on the wall, you have to write these scriptures on the wall. If you have to, because I used to write it, you know, literally write them on the wall with a pen or a marker or a crayon, whatever I had, just so that I wouldn't forget and so that I would always be constantly surrounded by the word. And so it doesn't always work, but in the times that I really need it, God reminds me. And so I'm just kind of fast forward, and I know I'm so transparent, I tell all my business on the broadcast. But when they, you know, tried to explain to me that by a voicemail message, go figure, that growth in my stomach was cancerous, I could have freaked out. But had I not been studying, had I not had the word before me, had I not been able to see the goodness of God before me, had I not been able to have examples of my student, you know, that was ministering and teaching the word of God from his hospital bed, had I not had all those things to build me up, to remind me who I serve, I probably would have been a mess. But I can't be, because I know he's not going to put no more on me than I can bear. I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that he has all healing power. He has all authority. And then the authority and power, praise God, because of Jesus, he gave that to me so I can lay my hands on myself and pray and recover. I can set myself free. I can do what is necessary to do. So I can't get caught up in the philosophy, the man of, I got to be broken.
Yeah.
I got to, you know, appear sick. I got to appear that I'm sad and broken in order for them to believe me. The last time I was in the hospital, the lady told me, she said, sweetheart, you got to stop joking around with these nurses and doctors when they come in the room, because they're writing in your chart that you're not sick. And I said, they can see by the test results and they see my blood pressure readings, they know I'm not faking that, but I'm not going to operate in the vein that you want me to operate in to appear to be why I'm here. I know that God is working on the inside, and my assignment is to minister to these people. And if I can minister to the people, that keeps me ministered, keeps me upbeat. And so the philosophy of man is when you're broke, you need to be broken. When you're down and out, you got to be so low that you need a ladder to get up on the curb. Where does that philosophy come from? That is empty deceit that makes you believe the devil's lie, not God's report. You have to put on the newness. You have to, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but we have to renew our minds and understand if you got people that are in your corner that is constantly talking that negative crap, then you got to cut them off because you are believing the philosophy of God. You are believing his intellectual knowledge. You are believing from experience what you've experienced. Not that, you know, we've evolved from a fish and a bird because the beak is bigger. That's crap. I am made in the image of God. And if I stand on that alone, then I know that I have the power and authority to overcome whatever the world places before me. And I think sometimes we forget because we're listening to the philosophies and the thoughts and the practices of man. This is what arthritis looks like. This is what heart disease looks like. This is what stroke people look like. The devil is a lie. How come I can have a stroke and be smiling and laughing and telling people, yes, I need to do something different because I probably need to eat better, need to live better. But at the end of the day, God got me and I still can move and have my being and do what God has called me to do. Why can't that be the philosophy of the day? Why does it have to be the other? And so,
and
again,
what you're doing, Dr. Happy, is you are practicing Proverbs because you are guarding your heart. You are guarding what comes into your ear gate. You are guarding your eyes, and we have to put the word into practice because if not, the enemy will steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal our life. He will destroy our families. He will take us out. If you don't stand on the Proverbs where you guard, and you don't want that, you know, well, you know, so-and-so had the same thing and this happened to them. No, I stand on the word of God that by his stripes I am healed. But that is what, when you are saying that, you are operating in the scripture because you're guarding what comes into your heart, your ears, your eyes, and the scripture tells us to do that. And you're thinking, that's why you could be so jovial even in crisis, because you're thinking on those things that are lovely, thinking on those things that are pure, but thinking on those things of God, and that is putting the word of God to practice. So I say amen to that because.
And I was just going to say, and even in that, your mouth, you have to make sure that you're speaking the word so that not only do your ears hear it, you got to make sure that the enemy hears it and everybody else hears it. And so I think sometimes we can think on these things, but we got to speak these things.
Amen.
So
amen.
One of my mentors told me a couple of weeks ago, she's like, Lee, I don't know how to pray for you. Because if I'm going to pray for you, I need for you to be believing what I'm praying for. Because if you're going to talk the world language, then there's no reason for me to pray. But if you're going to speak God's words and tell that whatever tumor is in your body, that it has to dry up because the word of God says that it cannot live and eat. And whatever you're going through, if you know and you have a scripture, amen, that will counteract, you got to speak that and talk to it and tell it. You have no place here. You can't,
amen.
You can't reside. Confusion, craziness, all that stuff that the world system accepts. Oh, you know, now granted, I'm not knocking counseling because counseling helps because it helps you get to the root of your problem because once you get to the root, you can dig it up, praise God, and it can be gone. And you don't want to gloss over anything. But at the same time, when you find out what the problem is, now you know to go to, a lady told me the other day, that library that you have in your pocket? And I was like, library? And she said, yeah, you have a library in your pocket. And I'm like, library? She said, that phone you have is a library. Look up whatever you need to look up. Find the words that you need to say. Study what you need to study and get yourself in a place where God can really move and show up and show out. And so I thought, wow, amen. I talk about Google all the time, my friend, but I use it when it helps me or supports me in the things I'm studying or whatever. But no, I need to use it to give me the right scriptures and the right tone and the right confession. That's the word I'm looking for. The right confessions to make them down. One of my mentors, she told me that I had to say this every day for several weeks, but I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, and I'm richly blessed. And then, of course, she has a whole bunch of other stuff that she adds to hers. And so she said, find out yours and add them to that. And so I just, every day, I say these same things. And so I'm walking better, I'm talking better, I'm doing things better, I'm getting out more, all because I am confessing what I'm doing. And so as long as you can confess it now, my back still hurts like the Dickens, but praise God, I'm moving. And so I have to talk to my back sometimes. You need to line up because God said that I could do this, and so I'm going to. And so if you get in your mindset, like Minister Elaine said, guard your thoughts. Sometimes we watch too much TV and see the ways that the world is living, and we think that we have to be accustomed to what they're doing. Oh, you know, so she's sick, so she got to take time off, and she got to sit down. If that's not what God has called you to, then amen. You don't have to follow man's philosophy or experiences or knowledge. You do what God has told you to do. Yes, when I was doing the broadcast, when I had COVID and everybody thought that I was insane, amen, I didn't, because I knew that I had to push this body to make this body understand you do not control me. God controls me. And God said that he gave me grace to do what I need to do. And so praise God, I was able to get up. Now, I probably had to go back to bed afterwards, but nevertheless, I was able to do the assignment that God gave. I cringe sometimes when I hear Christian people not really understand their worth, not understand their value, not understand the gifting and what it means to really be gifted with the things of God. He didn't have to give you the gifts and the talents that he gave you. And for you not to yield them back to him is puzzling when you say that you love the Lord. You can't appreciate all that he's done for you if you're not willing to do the things that he's called you to do. And so that's what passion, what gives me motivation, what gives me the heart to do the things that I do is because I appreciate it. He did not have to make me a minister. He did not have to allow me to have this platform to minister from. I could be wandering, carrying somebody's water and tying shoes and getting dry cleaning. Okay, I probably shouldn't go there. But anyway, you know, there's some ministers do that. That's all they get to do. But I get to minister, and I'm going to lay in the bed? I don't think so. I'm going to do what God called me to do because he didn't have to, but he did, and I'm grateful that he did. So the things that this world tells me, the things that the enemy tries to make me believe it goes contrary to the word of God. No, ma'am. I don't
and
believe
they
that.
Are temporal. They are temporary. The things of this world are temporary. Even just like Darwin is dead and his ark is crumbled into the sea. They are temporal. And that's Amen. What we have to stand on is the word of God is eternal. And it is for us to stand on so that we can be according to what he says we are, who we are, like you said earlier, fearfully and wonderfully made. He made us in his image. He put his breath in us, and we have to walk in that, and we have to guard ourselves against the traditions, the cultures, the naysayers of this world because it is evil deceit, and the scripture has warned us against it.
Amen. Well, girl, you know, we could go on and on and on, back and forth, because, praise God, we are both passionate about his word and how we can take a subject and make it right for God to use to share his awesomeness. But we get kind of close to out of time. We're not out of talk, but we are out of time. And I want to make sure that we play my granny's song. I had somebody that's online that listens, and she's like, this song always cuts me off, and I don't get to hear the whole song. So I want to make sure that they get most of the songs before we close out. But if there's anything that you would like to say for the final words that you'd like to leave with the audience, what would that be?
Just I'll start with the final scripture, which is Philippians 4, 8, and 9, and I'm going to use your version from the message. Summing it all up, friends, I say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and what you saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. When the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart, tugs on your mind to figure out what's really going on, uncover the deceit so that you don't perish from lack of knowledge and you can pass it on to others, so that we are all empowered to be connected to the vine and that we'll always bear much fruit.
Amen, amen. You know I love me some vine and the branches. My favorite scripture, John 15.
Yes, I do. I figured you'd appreciate that God put this in my heart.
Yes, and I mean, one of the things that I tell people when I read that scripture is because there was so many things that I was trying to control and thought I was in charge of. And when God reminded me, I don't think you put no stars in the sky. I don't think you changed the sun and the moon to shine. None of that. And so you want to control things. You can't even control the branch that you on.
Amen. I'll leave with one war cry. You know, I'm really into the war cry. Everybody, we can say hallelujah,
yes,
and do our war cry. Woo! God is able. Stand on his word. That's it. Hallelujah. Get that war cry on. He gave us everything we need. Okay, I know I get a little animated and a little excited, but okay.
Well, the word to do that to you, you believe it and you know it to be true. Amen. Amen. Not the dark.
We're going to get Granny's song on.
Yes, we're going to put Granny's song on. And so I always close the broadcast off with my Granny's song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it does. And I know she is my number one listener, praise God. And so praise God. She's moving into, I think it's 95. I think she'll be 95. I'm 54, so yeah, she'll be 95. So praise God. I'm so excited that God has blessed us to be able to have her. And last week she asked, she said, Leah, do you think that I have left a legacy? I'm like, absolutely. I said, all your children have given their life to Christ, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grands even know the things of God. And they little bitty ones, but they know who Jesus is. And so that's a legacy enough. And she's done quite a few other things. One of the things that she did, that they just didn't write her story, but she refused to get off the bus too. Amen. Just to move out of her seat on the bus. But praise God, she has done a lot. And so we are grateful for you and your legacy, Granny. That's why I play your song, Every Praise Belongs to God. And I also dedicate this to my nieces and nephews. And my niece, praise God, the one that listens the most, praise God, she graduates on Wednesday. So I'm so excited. So shout out Miss Niecy for graduating high school. And she got almost a full ride to one of the colleges of her choice. And so, amen. It's amazing when people do the things of God, and then they get to see how he'll bless, continue to follow. So, baby, you continue to follow the things of God. Well, praise God. This is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Thank God for my guest, Minister Elaine Donaldson, and we pray that we'll have you back on again. The scripture she came from was Colossians 6 through 8, and then she read Philippians 4 and 9. She did Proverbs 20:22, I believe it was, and then Proverbs 4, and then she spoke that not to believe that one, but to believe God, because he created us in Genesis 2 and 7. But again, make sure that you tune in each week, and then remember to always, always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and end your prayer in your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Help us sing every praise.
Every praise
is to our God.
To our God.
praise.
Every praise.
Take it up and praise.
Every praise.
It's true.